Stand the Man podcast with business and entrepreneurs.
It's now time for Stand the Man podcast. And here's your host, Stan the Man.
Stan the Man here with your podcast today. And for those of you joining us for the very first time here on the podcast, this is what we do. We cover business as well as feature entrepreneurs and talk about entrepreneurship and how that can work out for you. All right, so we're going to jump right into it. So today, what I wanted to cover with you is something that a lot of people are looking for nowadays, especially with COVID-19. That is, a lot of folks are looking for jobs. And when I was in grad school a few years ago and about to look forward getting a job, once I graduated, I needed a way to get a job. And I found out when I talked to folks and I had different opinions and friends and family, they couldn't really help me get a job. So I created a system that was one that worked very well, and it was able to get me a job and job offers. And so today, exclusively on Stand the Man podcast, I'm going to be sharing some of those things that work for me, and I'm pretty confident they will work for you if you go ahead and use them. All right, so the first thing what you want to do, you want to make sure your resume is tight. You want to make sure your resume is right. And how do you do that? Well, many of you, there are different types of formats for resumes. There's ways you could look at it. There's a system called My Perfect Resume. I would recommend that if you want to look at it. It's free initially. If you want to keep it for an extended period of time, then it actually will cost. And what that system does, it takes your resume and it lines it up side by side with a job that is actually open. It puts the description down there, and then you hit a button, and then it tells you if you need to add things to it. As you probably know by now, the resume is it could be a subjective process, but you usually want to tailor that resume for the particular job that you're looking for. All right, so once you get your resume all set, then the next thing you want to do is you want to circulate that resume to businesses that are looking to hire someone just like you. And really, it becomes a numbers game. And so, of course, it's the more resumes you put out there, then at some point in time, you're going to be getting folks calling you, folks doing the interviews. And then after that, of course, you're going to begin to get job offers. Now, the sites that I recommend you definitely want to be on as far as getting yourself out there on social media, LinkedIn is probably one of the best things for you to be on because it's really like it's like a Facebook for business, and there's a 500 million people on there. And so it still surprises me nowadays that some people are in business are looking for jobs, but they're not on LinkedIn. And, you know, like me, maybe you just didn't know that it was available. But now, thanks to the Stand a Man podcast, you do know that it's available. So you go on there, set up your profile. If you're not sure what works or what doesn't work, you can go on YouTube. There's a lot of folks on there that tell you how to set up your profile on LinkedIn and the best ways to go about it. Of course, you want to make sure that you have a very good picture up there, you know, a semi-professional picture. Of course, you don't want to have something that, you know, where you're out at the beach having fun or something like that. Of course, it's a business site, so I know you will keep it and set it up as business. All right, some of the other sites that you want to get set up on, the sites that are very good as far as getting job alerts to you and that kind of thing. Indeed is one of my favorites. Of course, you would want to, you can go to Monster. And then there's Glassdoor, that's a good one. And Career Builder, that's another good one. Also, there's a site, it's called About.me. What I like about About.me, I should say, is that what you can do, I like it because it allows you, you essentially could text someone your information. It shows, of course, your picture, and it outlines your career with that as well. And so then once you start getting, you know, the numbers up, I would say, you know, you need to get a lot of resumes out there because 9 out of 10 of them are not even looked at because they're going through what is called the ATS for short. That's the acronym, but it is the Applicant Tracker System. And so now a lot of these places have something that's automatic. You send your resume in, and when you send your resume in, it basically goes through a computer tracking system. And if your resume is not a good match, it gets kicked out. And of course, the recruiter or the hiring manager, they never see it. So, and of course, nowadays, a lot of the folks get hired, about 70% based on those that keep these statistics, about 70% of the people that do get hired, it's based on referrals. So you definitely want to ask friends and family, people that you know, or who's hiring. You let them know what you're doing and what you're very good at, and those folks who maybe get you connected. Some of these job sites, they are asking for, do you have a family member there, a friend there, or someone that can recommend you to it? So it's really good to be able to do that if you can set up in there as you fill out the application. All right, now once you get your application in, then you're going to start to get calls back, and people are going to start to call you. One thing you got to be prepared for is you may get a call, you may not be ready for it, but when they call you, a lot of times they want to see if you have the time to do an interview. And that interview is going to be over the phone. Sometimes your phone screening is the first process. And you want to be ready for that because you want to have, you know, your resume and things and whatnot close to you, because if you don't, you're going to not sound like you know what you're talking about. So you want to be prepared in having, how do you prepare for the phone interview? The questions that they're going to ask, you know, many of them are the basic ones. Tell me about yourself. Why would you want to work here? So those are things that you need to practice. It surprised me a little bit nowadays. So a lot of folks don't practice for their resume, and also don't practice for getting a call in on when someone is calling you about a phone interview. That's something you need to be aware of and ready for, because they may call you and you don't know when they're going to call. And when they do call, they'll say, you got a few minutes. And then when you say, yes, I do, they'll go ahead and walk into the interview with you at that point. Now, of course, if you're not ready or you're caught off guard, you can let them know, give them a little time later on the day or the next day. But most of these recruiters, they want to talk to people right now, because they're trying to get someone in there in front of hiring managers. It's a numbers game, and they want to get that position filled very quickly. So as far as phone interviews, you may want to go on YouTube, and a lot of folks in there give you cues and things that you could say when you're looking at getting a phone interview. You know, they give you the questions, and then they also tell you the best answers, because really on these interviews, you pretty much got to be perfect, and you really got to stand out. Also, you want to show energy over the phone. It's best to smile, and that's going to come across to the person listening to you. And of course, you want to be in a quiet place. So that, you know, of course, they don't want to hear any background noise or people talking or anything like that when you're trying to do the interview with them. All right. So once you've done the phone interview, then the next step is going to be, if they like you, sometimes right there on the phone call, they'll tell you they're going to schedule something for you, or they'll say something like they're going to get to the hiring manager, and then once that, they may contact you back. And so then you're going to have to be ready for what the next interview is going to be. All right. So nowadays, a lot of these folks are doing things that are being done over the internet reviews, or interviews, I should say. So what they're doing is, you know, some are using Zoom, some are using Microsoft. So then you got to, when you do that interview, of course, you got to look the part, you got to look professional. So to make sure that when they do contact you, you look professional. I'd recommend, if you're not familiar with how some of this stuff works, you might go on to Zoom and kind of do some, do your test and whatnot with a friend or family member and practice on Zoom, so you could be ready when you do get that call. You will be absolutely ready. All right, so then after that, then the next thing is, after they've gone through some of these things, then you have to look at, well, you know, hoping that they give you a job offer. And if they give you a job offer, then at that point, will look like for you to go ahead and accept it. I would say when you're filling out your applications and whatnot, you want to keep track of them. So I would say if you're going on different sites, whether it's Indeed or Glassdoor, you want to keep in a Word document, you know, the source that you use, the date that you use. And then of course, sometimes you'll start to get back responses saying they moved on. So you might want to keep track of that, because if you get a call from someone and they're saying the name of the company, you're going to need to have that job description very close by. So whether it's on your computer or whether you've printed it out, sometimes I like to print it out. So if they call, I can just go right to it and talk about some things that will help them out. All right, so today, that's some things that we can help you in your job search. If you have any questions on that, you can send me an email to standthemanpodcast50@gmail.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you. And next up, we're going to have an entrepreneur coming on and going to be able to share some things with you about what it is to be in business and what's going on in the real estate business. All right? Hello, everyone. Thank you for being with us on the Stand the Man podcast. And today, we're very excited. We have another expert entrepreneur here for you, and his name is Eric White. And Eric, his business is iDrive Acquisitions. How are you doing today, sir?
Excellent, Stan. Excellent. How are you, man?
Very good. Well, I'm finally glad to be able to get you on the podcast. I'm very excited, as I mentioned earlier, because I know that the information you have is going to really give some insights to not only what you're doing, but how you can help other people, especially in these times that we're going through right now. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go for it.
Very good. So if you could just, for our listeners, just kind of give them an overview as to what it is that you actually do at iDrive Acquisitions.
Absolutely, Stan. So what we do at iDrive Acquisitions, we are a real estate company that we purchase homes, rehab them, and then put them back on the market for end buyers or end users. So what we do is we focus on communities that are depressed, communities that are going through turbulent times economically, socially, and we want to go in and help those help out those communities. And I did say that iDrive Acquisitions is a real estate company, but in all honesty, Stan, we are a people business.
Okay, very good.
We focus on the people with their problems, and then we solve those problems through dealing with real estate.
Outstanding. Well, that's, very happy that you're helping a lot of folks, as I mentioned earlier, especially in these difficult times. So the first question I wanted to ask you is, how has COVID-19 affected your business and the clients and the people that you're working with now?
Absolutely. Great question, Stan. So COVID-19 and the impact that the coronavirus has had on our businesses almost been exponential. We, like many other organizations and companies and small businesses alike, have had to pivot. It's no longer been business as usual. And how that represents itself in the marketplace is people are scared. People are afraid. People are skeptical. And so what we've had to do is change our business model to spend more time with our customers in order to make sure that they're comfortable. In addition to, of course, you know, the masks and hand sanitizer and social distancing and so on and so forth. And like I said, our business is a people business. So you can well imagine that, you know, the impact that COVID has had on our business because of the distance and the kind of separation of people, it's made it a little bit difficult. However, with that pivot that we've made, we've been able to kind of keep, you know, a full head of steam and still solidify our space in the marketplace.
Fantastic. Everyone, you're listening to Stand the Man podcast, and our special guest today is Eric White with iDrive Acquisitions. The next question I wanted to ask you is for folks that are listening and that folks are dealing with, some are probably maybe trying to sell their property or buy property. And what would you categorize as, I know there's not a, now, especially with COVID-19, no such thing as a normal day. But kind of give us a little description as to how you're helping your customers on a day-to-day basis. I'm sure you have, there's a variety of things that come in, but if you could just give us a sample as to if someone contacted you, just give a couple of examples on what it is, how you would begin to walk them through a couple of processes.
Absolutely. Great. So what we do is we focus on those challenged communities, and we're not there to take advantage of anybody. We're not there to just simply line our own pockets. We go there with a servant's heart. And what that simply means is when we get a call, whether it's a call from a customer or a potential customer calling us from a piece of mail that they've received from our company, we first want to know how can we help, what the pain point is, because whenever you reach out to an organization or a company like mine or a real estate investment company, obviously that company is there not for an altruistic purpose, but of course for a profit. So with that said, we want to be out front and make sure that we are seen as helpers versus capitalists looking to acquire our next conquest.
Excellent. So, go ahead.
And so what we've ultimately found is through establishing relationships with people who call us from a piece of mail that they've received, we let them know that their situation is critical to them, of course, and we don't diminish that or try to kind of downplay that. But we also want them to know that they're not the only ones in that situation. So we establish a rapport and a relationship with our clients, and that allows them to, you know, talk about their difficulty, whether, you know, they've gone through job loss or, you know, wages being cut, hours being cut, so on and so forth. You know, a lot of people are scared to talk about or embarrassed to talk about their situations financially.
Okay.
If it's negative. And so what we want to do is actually step in, fill in the gap, and then say, look, you're not alone. We're here to help you. And we can use your real estate as a tool for you to, you know, recover and get back on your feet and ultimately get back to where you need and want to be. So to answer your question more succinctly, Stan, my advice is, for anybody looking to do this business, think about the people that you're going to service first and foremost.
Okay.
And on the other side of that coin, for those who are in need and who are, you know, struggling with a piece of property, an unwanted property or a property that, you know, they can't keep up, or, you know, they just want to liquidate, downsize, maybe your company moved and you need to move with them, you know, don't be afraid to talk about your true situation. And you're not alone, and just, you know, be open to the possibility of really someone trying to help you.
You know, that's great, Eric. And we are talking with Eric White of iDrive Acquisitions. You brought up a great point, and that is that for a person that thinking they're the only one, and the analogy that I thought of right away is when you're feeling sick, when you get to the urgent care, you realize you're not the only one that needs urgent care. So I think the good thing is with your business, it reminds me of urgent care in a financial aspect, if you will. And I think I've learned that the first thing a person has to do is be able to admit they have a problem or a challenge that they're facing. It's, again, the analogy is if someone goes to the doctor, but they don't tell them the symptoms or what's wrong, then of course the doctor can't help them. So in your situation, what you're doing is they give you the information, and once they give you all the information, then at that point, you're able to help them in what it is that they need. I was going to ask you this. The next question I have for you is that, are you seeing with COVID-19, are you seeing an uptick in foreclosures, or would you say it's about the same right now?
I would say it's about the same, Stan. Honestly, that wave, and it is coming. Everybody within the real estate career field, if you will, knows that there will be a tsunami of foreclosures coming. Okay. It has not hit the market yet. That wave is coming, though. And so we have not seen a significant uptick. I think what we're seeing in the marketplace now, from my perspective, is speculation. People are trying to move and liquidate before it gets to rock bottom pricing, and homeowners with any amount of equity are trying to capitalize on the equity that they have before the market is flooded with a ton of other properties, and then they won't be able to give those properties away. So slight uptick that we've seen is only a fraction of what we're projecting will be in the marketplace, but COVID has not necessarily culminated to this point in a huge amount of properties on the market or in the marketplace.
All right, very good. But so would it be fair to say that, would you categorize the market now as a buyer's market?
Yes, I definitely would say it is a buyer's market. There's a lot of activity out there, and predominantly the activity that I've been seeing is from investors, and not necessarily from in buyers or homeowners. We know that, you know, the job market is challenged despite, you know, all the reports that we've been seeing in the news over the last several months about the economy doing well. The economy is doing well from the standpoint of stock market and not necessarily from the jobs market.
Right.
You know, everybody knows that, you know, we have still a lot of businesses that are operating at half staff or partial staff. And so those people are still unemployed or underemployed. And so the marketplace is actually starting to be devoid of homeowners, and the wave of renters is going to, you know, come right along with the tsunami of foreclosures. And so that's what I'm personally seeing in the marketplace.
And because I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was about either 2008 or 2009 when we had the, you know, the market was really, had really got depressed. You know, most of us remember back then, it's like the banks were going out of business, GM was going out of business, and Chrysler was going out of business. Economically, it was even much worse than it is now. So I think if we're fortunate, I'm hoping that it won't get back to that.
You know what, Stan? Yeah, the crash of 2007, 2008, at that point, I was 3 years into the real estate business, real estate investing business, as a landlord.
Oh, okay.
And so, so I got into the fray. I was able to have about two and a half, almost 3 years of really good profits coming in from my rental properties. Positive cash flow every month, not to mention, of course, the tax benefits.
Yeah.
And in 2007, 2008, all that came to a crash and halt.
Ah, okay.
I think that time frame kind of has conditioned us, those that have been in the marketplace since then, it's kind of conditioned us to brace for what's coming down the pike within the next several months or so. And so with that said, I believe that those that are well positioned in this business will come out just fine. And again, our business at iDrive Acquisitions, we have an altruistic mindset that we want to help. And so when we do ultimately run into those potential sellers or clients, that are, you know, at the end of their hopes rope, we're going to work with them, and we have a few different strategies that we use that the homeowner can ultimately sell to us and still stay in that property. And so I think those that those businesses and those companies that can position themselves to give back just a little bit, it would go a long way for people in the marketplace that are struggling.
Well, I think that's really great because, and the way you've described your business is, it is one that I'm confident that with your business that you can, I'll just bear with me a moment. Mm-hmm. Here we go. All right, somebody's trying to contact me, but all right, we're all good. All right, so the so what we're going to and kind of looking at here is that with your business, I'm really excited about it because it can, you can help folks now, you can help them later, or depending on if the economy doesn't really impact your ability to help folks, because it, I correct me if I'm wrong, but it's always, it sounds like there's always going to be someone that needs your type of business no matter what time we're in. Would that be fair to say?
That is absolutely fair to say. You know, it's so funny. In this business, in real estate, you know, you hear so many people, kind of experts, talking about what they do and how much money they make and, you know, the impact that they're having on their communities and so on and so forth. So to the layman person who's not really familiar with, you know, real estate and real estate investing, it seems like it's rocket science, but truly it's not.
Go ahead.
It is truly not. And so, you know, when before I got involved in 2005, I was one of those people. I thought it was rocket science. Oh, I don't have enough money, or my credit isn't stellar enough, or, you know, I don't have the resources to get into this. And quite honestly, back in 2005, when I first got in, the market was soft, and people were, banks were lending to, you know, anybody.
Yeah, that's when they were doing the
loans.
It was like the really no what was it? No income was needed and all that kind of stuff. It was basically you got equity, you can get it. Everybody was getting homes back then, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely. Stated the big thing were the stated home loans. So basically you just go in and you state what you earned and what your expenditures are, and you're qualified, versus, you know, the standard, which has been a financialoscopy, is what I call it.
Okay.
Where they essentially used to like poke and prod and dig and delve all into your business. And
right. You
had to come in with all these bank records and statements.
Exactly.
And absolutely. So, and you know, the stated, people argue that the stated and the subprime lending methods is what caused that bubble. But honestly, I think it was a multitude of different things. It was, you know, a booming housing market. People, wages were up, unemployment was down, and people were, you know, just going in and buying homes and, you know, pursuing that American dream. And,
right.
And you know, people started getting over, getting in over their heads with these loans and adjustable interest rates just to, you know, kind of lower the barrier of entry. And those loans came to mature, and ultimately we had the crash in 2007.
Exactly. Go ahead. Were you going to say something else? Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So I said all that to say, this business is not rocket science. And I shock people when I tell them how they can participate in this and ultimately develop their own business to do what I do. And you know, I used to joke about it, the late night infomercials about, you know, the guys who can go in and buy houses, no cash, no credit. And right. I would always say, there's a hook, or there's a trick, or it's a scam. It honestly isn't, Stan. It isn't.
I was just going to add that, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, that some years ago, back in the day, Tony Robbins was doing infomercials, late night infomercials back in the day. And for him, he was doing really what he's doing now, but he was just, he had time. He was telling people how he could encourage them, motivate them and all that stuff. And, you know, we do have some folks that are in real estate that are doing it, but I think that I've learned, and I'm sure you're aware of this, when a person doesn't know about something, sometimes it could just be a little bit of fearful of them, you know, kind of jumping, you know, jumping into the deep end, so to speak. But sometimes, and we know in real estate, if you just learn about it, you know, I was afraid of accounting until I actually had to take it. And then I found out it was something I could actually do. So you're making some good points there, sir.
Absolutely. And so, Stan, I think I'm going to age myself here, but I don't know if you remember Carlton Sheets.
Yes, sir. He's one that I studied, and his system was really easy to understand. I mean, he outlined it perfectly, and it's something one could still use today.
To this day, absolutely. And he was, you know, he's considered by some the godfather of real estate investing, right? But I got my feet wet through his program. And then, you know, I found success with a moderate amount of success with his program. And then I wound up getting connected with a guy out of Orange County, California, by the name of Marshall Reddick. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Yeah, I actually heard of him. He was doing extremely well back in that day. I mean, he had, from what I remember, he had a thing where he opened, you know, he had contacts all over the United States and properties. It was pretty well set up when I heard about him.
Absolutely. Yep. And so those guys are really what paved the way for me to help me understand and help me believe that I can do this and that this business wasn't larger than me.
Very good. All right. Yeah. So the, didn't want to step in your word. So our time is just about up, but you know, we're probably going to definitely have you back. So I wanted to just give you a moment. If there's anything in summation that you want to share with our listeners today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, the one thing that I want to leave with everybody listening is, like I was just saying, this real estate investing business career choice is really, it's not hard. It's not easy. It can be challenging, but it's not hard. It's well worth the time and effort that you need to put into this in order to become successful. And, you know, if you go into this with an abundance mindset, you'll be very successful and you will help a lot of people. You'd brighten a lot of people's days and you'd be a help to the communities that you operate within. You know, there's a mindset that I have, and it's the abundance mindset. There is more than enough to go around. So my law or my win does not equate to anybody else's loss. True. And someone else's loss does not equate to my win. You know, it can be really competitive. The market, you know, can be saturated in some areas. You know, we have Texas where I am. The market is booming. Okay. Whereas Texas growth has historically been about 4 to 7%. Year over year, and we're experiencing almost maybe double that in Texas with house values because a number of different factors, but you know, namely because of the job market. We have a lot of companies moving from other states in America coming down to Texas
Let's see, Tesla's going to be there next year with a production facility. I'm sure you've already heard about that's where the trucks are going to be put together.
Absolutely. And
by the way, I should tell everybody Austin, that don't know, no state taxes in Texas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But those property taxes, they are nothing to play with.
That's what I heard. One time a guy told me, he was from Texas. He said, well, they make up for it in property taxes.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Whereas okay. when I had my house, when I lived in California, it was about 1%. It's 3% here. So,
okay.
Yeah. But at any rate, you know, you you can really get a lot for your dollar here in Texas. And right. again, anybody that's looking to get into this business, partner with somebody who's done it, partner with, you know, your friends, and you guys can learn about it on your own together. This is definitely not a vocation for somebody who just wants to dibble and dabble. You have to be passionate about this.
Right.
And I am passionate about this. Like I said, I've been doing this since 2005. So
right.
It's my passion. So again, real estate investing is the most popular way people have become millionaires.
Right.
And it's not going anywhere. So
that's true.
You know, but at any rate, I don't want to drone on about it. I love fine. What I do, and I love helping people. So, you know, if you go into it with a heart of gold and realize that the good that you do will ultimately come back to you, then, you know, you'll find a lot of success in this business.
Fantastic. And you've been listening to Stand the Man podcast, and our guest today has been Eric White with iDrive Acquisitions. And Eric, if someone wants to contact you, how would they go about doing that?
Absolutely. They can reach me at Eric, and that's spelled A-R-I-C, at iDriveAcquisitions.com. They can find me on the internet or on social media, Facebook, iDrive Acquisitions. And so you can look me up those ways.
Fantastic. I want to say thank you so much for being with us on the Stand the Man podcast. And like I did mention earlier, we'll look to get you back soon as we can, so you can continue to share things with us.
Sounds good, Stan. I'm there for you, buddy. Thank you.
Remember, you can listen to this podcast on Anchor FM, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Play, and Google Play.
Stan the Man podcast with business and entrepreneurs.